It's a concept. The concept is the idea of training as our particular, well, as our Bible, as our scripture said. So, Paul's point here is that while bodily training, bodily exercise, bodily discipline has a value, it has very little value compared to training oneself up in godliness. Does that make sense? Scripture tells us that godliness is profitable for eternity and comes through training. Now, you've heard me say this around Olympics time, right? And here's usually the way that I say it. Think about if every Christian in this room put in as much training and focus in their spiritual growth as the athletes did for their Olympics. Think about that. Quite honestly, in 20 years, the athletes will look probably like me. Right? But any spiritual disciplines that we have last for eternity. Is that saying don't do the physical discipline? No. We need to be healthy, right? We don't want to look like me, right? But the thing is, spiritual disciplines, spiritual training is an eternal concept. It is an eternal rush. You're getting a little bit too much of a kick out of that. So, quite honestly, think about what this church would be like. Or let's just take every church in Warsaw. What would happen to this community if every church, every Christian that attends church here in Warsaw would put as much in their spiritual life, disciplined life, spiritual training, spiritual exercise, as the worst athlete at the Olympics did? What would this community be like? When we approach our spiritual life like an athlete in training and develop the habits of godliness in the same manner that a weightlifter or a pitcher or a quarterback or a gymnast or fill in the blank, whatever, the consequences last forever. So, godliness only comes through grace, but it takes great effort to apply grace fully to our lives. And I have 6 habits that will help you cultivate your experience of grace. Now, these aren't ways to earn God's approval. It's important that you understand that. These are not ways to earn God's approval, but these are ways that allow God's grace to transform our lives. Do you hear the difference? There are ways that allow God's grace to transform our lives. So grab your insert there and we'll go through these this morning. So the first is put God first. Principle of priority. This is the concept of Matthew 6:33. We have to develop the habit of giving God the first portion and the best part of our day. Great Christians give their first and best time to meet with God before anything else. Now, a simple story that might help you see this. It was, I believe, our first church, maybe our second church, and a lady came up to me after worship one day, and she says, "You know, Eric, I was cleaning out the freezer, and I found a turkey that we had. I'm not sure how old it is, but I was wondering if the church could use it." Think about that for a minute. Does anybody not find that humorous this morning? Why would the church want a turkey that you don't want? You hear what I'm saying? Another lady came up to me at some point in my ministry and says, "Hey, Eric, we're buying new furniture for the house. I'd like to give the church our old furniture." Right? And you know what my comment to her was? "We'll take the new furniture. You can live with the old furniture." Right? I mean, for some reason, we think God enjoys whatever we're done with. Right? Don't we? I mean, be honest about it. We must, because that's typically what we give God. That's typically what we give the church, even with our time. Whatever's left over is what we give. Right? It's not first out of the block. Well, this concept says put God first. The principle of priority. Great Christians give their first and best time to meet with God before anything else. So let's say this together. Put God first, the principle of priority. The second is take out the trash, the principle of transformation. Romans 12:2 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul is telling us, stop being conformed or molded to this world. Quit allowing the world, its ideas, its images, and its values to shape who you are. Get the trash out of your life. This goes back to that idea of think great thoughts, doesn't it? Think great thoughts. You can't think great thoughts if you got all that trash hanging out inside of you, can you? If you never read Scripture, if people never come to worship, whatever it is, there's no way you can think great thoughts. Why? Because you never hear great thoughts, right? It's like trash in and trash out. People hear that and see that in your life. Right? All right. So let's say this together. Take out the trash. The principle of transformation. The third is, boys, listen closely. David, even up there in the balcony, right? Do your own dishes. Principle of responsibility. Oh, folks, goodness gracious. Psychology has taken us down a sad path since the late 70s, right? Do your own dishes takes the blame off of other people and forces us to be accountable for our own messes. Can I get an amen out of that? People who have a performance-based relationship, stick with me here, people who have a performance-based relationship with God don't understand or accept the fullness of His grace. And they develop a habit of making excuses and blaming people or circumstances for everything that goes wrong. Tell me, how many of us know someone like that? And you know, the hard part is sometimes we find that it's the person staring us back in the mirror, right? It is our spiritual responsibility before God to clean up our own dishes, quote unquote. When you take responsibility for yourself, you cultivate habits of being kind. You cultivate habits of being faithful. You cultivate habits of being a good steward and looking out for the needs of others. All right, so let's say this together. Do your own dishes, the principle of responsibility. Four, write it down. Write it down, the principle of clarity. Writing our thoughts down in a journal and expressing key issues and goals and feelings on paper can help draw out the plans that God has put within us. And we can do this three ways. One is to make 3x5 cards. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You can cut it out of an 8.5x11 sheet of paper. You can buy them at Walmart. Take 3x5 cards and write down your specific desires and goals on the cards and read the cards each morning and each evening for about a month. And after you've done that for a month, then read them 2 or 3 times a week. So here's what you do, just so you'll understand what I'm talking about. On one 3x5 card, like this is what I would say. I want to be a man of God and walk before God with integrity all the days of my life. Something like that. That's one 3x5 card. The second is, I want to demonstrate love for my wife in a way that makes sense to her each day in some specific way. The third might be, I would like to help each of my children discover their spiritual gifts and God's will for their life. Okay? And another one might be, I want to work out on a regular basis and not feel guilty about it so I can stay in good shape. Right? Fairly basic things, right, to write down. Now, here's what you do. You keep those cards and you read them every morning and you read them every night. And once you've made that a habit in your life, then you can start maybe 2 or 3 times a week reading them, maybe before you go to bed or right as you get up in the morning, all right? So write it down. Write it down on 3x5 cards. All right, the second part of this is calendar. Whoops. Calendars, the freedom of structure. Now, if you think about it, calendars sometimes I wake up and I look at my calendar and I'm like, oh, geez, I got all that to do today, right? But if you think about calendars right, they offer the freedom of structure. Jesus' teachings show that doing comes out of being, right? Not being out of doing, but doing comes out of being. How does this rubber meet the road? How does the rubber meet the road in this idea? So here's the deal. You know those 3x5 cards that we talked about? Take your calendar, and the first thing that you put in your calendar are those 3x5 cards. All right? So, how am I going to be a man of God and walk before God in integrity today? How am I going to do that? So that's the only thing on my calendar for this week, is that thing every day. Write that down on your calendar. What is that going to be? What does that look like? Reading Scripture, praying, doing devotion? What is that? All right? The second thing you put down on your calendar, what I would put down on my calendar, I want to demonstrate love for my wife in a way that makes sense to her each day in some specific way. That is the second thing that's on my calendar. Why? Because these are 4 or 5 things that are goals in my life, right? And if they're goals in my life, they're priorities in my life. Amen? All right, so that is the second. You hear what I'm saying? That's how the rubber meets the road in this concept, right? You got to put this down on your calendar, all right? This way, all of your B, quote-unquote, items go onto your calendar before your do items do. In other words, the person that you want to be is on your calendar before all the things that you have to do. Does that make sense to everybody? You follow me today? All right. So I know this is kind of basic stuff, rubber meets the road stuff, and it might be boring, but I tell you what, if you can write this down and you can apply it to your life, you'll come back next week a different person. I promise you. Huge areas of your life can prosper all because a few important practices were given some structure on a calendar. All right. Moving on, to-do list, the necessity of focus. Write your responsibilities. So here you have all of these things on your calendar, your B list, right, on your calendar, B-E, right, on your calendar. And now you have the to-do lists, right? Write all your responsibilities down at the beginning of the week and put a star by the essentials, the ones that you really want to do, the ones that will get you in trouble if you don't do them, right? And the ones that will have the greatest impact. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. And when each of them is completed, cross it off and thank God for his help. All right, so 3x5 cards, right? What was the second one? Calendars, and what's the third one? To-do list, and that is all under write it down, the principle of clarity. Let's say that together. Write it down, the principle of clarity. 5, do it now, the principle of inertia. Procrastination can kill any good idea or God idea. Amen? Now, this is where the old saying in church comes in. If you want to kill a great idea or bring the church to a screeching halt, have a committee meeting, right? That is a sure way to kill any idea. So you idea killers out there, if you want to be that, have a committee meeting. I'm sure the idea won't last to the end of the meeting, right? Right, yeah. So, I mean, in all seriousness, when procrastination, continual talking something to death, right? Putting it off kills any awesome idea, and it also takes the energy out of God ideas. Now, something too, as far as my personality type, because, you know, I'm a people pleaser. Right? And so I don't like to do things that people don't like. But as a pastor, sometimes you have to do things that people don't necessarily like, or else we wouldn't be doing God's will, would we? Right? And what this concept is whatever you dread most, do it first. Whatever you dread most, do it first. Get it over with early in the day. Right? All right. Our final one, 6, turn it off. The principle of restoration. Oh, we didn't repeat that. I don't want you to forget that. Do it now. Let's say it together. Do it now. principle of inertia. This one is turn it off, the principle of restoration. Hebrews 4 tells us to be diligent to enter our rest so that no one will fall. This isn't easy for most of us, and that's why Hebrews says be diligent, right? Work at it. Do it daily or weekly, whatever you choose. Take a small portion daily. Take an entire day weekly. We have to be diligent to cut off the conditions that keep us from resting. Quite honestly, probably I would say this is Jamie and I's biggest weakness. Who knows if it's our personalities, or maybe it's because we have three boys that are very active. Who knows, right? We've all been there, haven't we? But there are times that we have just got to learn to shut it off. And Mark, you may need something, but I'm sorry, brother. We got to shut it off right now, right? All of us have to have that time. All of us have to have that time. So, it is a huge faith issue. The Sabbath, Jesus said, is a gift from God. So let's say this together. Turn it off, the principle of restoration. So let's recap. We need to develop great habits because great Christians learn to live the Christian life in one fluid motion rather than an awkward series of movements, because they've learned how to develop great habits. And some basic steps to help us to put God first, to take out the trash, to do your own dishes, to write it down, to do it now.